At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
On today's show of the Can Fan Sunday Service, woo! We start off with talking about Ezekiel Elliott having the chance to break this Cowboys legend and Hall of Famers touchdown mark.
And then from that, we walk into the Cowboys offseason drama news with Dak Prescott wearing a boot. And then we cycle that into my play of the week.
hey, you just took both of them. What I was supposed to say, you double down, but guess what? That's okay, because we also answer the latest top two questions on DallasCowboys.com, including, what are your expectations for Zeke Elliott? All this and a bunch of crack'ems on today's show.
We have lots
of fun.
Let's go. Let's go, Cowboys.
Crack'em if you got 'em, son.
Son.
Hello, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to the Sunday Service with your hosts, Adam, Alex, and Anthony.
Why did I get last? Why the hell are the bandwagon boys getting introduced before me? Oh, hey, you did me dirty. You're doing it oldest to youngest. All right, that's what you did. You did it oldest to youngest, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with hierarchy of age. Anything else, other than that, though, I will not take that for anything.
But he who controls the sound and the production can control what happens here. That's why. That's why I said us first.
Very,
you know?
Ad's just full dictator right now.
Shut up!
Crack him if you got him. Ad, you got it
go
on
for
me?
It.
Crack it. Crack him if you got him, son.
You're not supposed to call me out like that.
I know, but.
Ad mentioned it. Now we're all.
We're self conscious if Ad's on me or not.
Doing this?
Hey,
doing
you got this the
to
shot?
The camera?
Do you got the shot? You can go back and post edit that out, right?
Yeah. Did you get the shot?
Did you get the shot? Did you get the shot? Did you not crack one, Ad?
I have my pregame still going.
Oh, shit. We were early today.
Okay, you know what? Hey.
Crack 'em if you got 'em,
Cowboys there. Nation. And crack 'em if you got 'em, too.
On this fine Sunday, guys, I'm feeling, I don't feel sick, but I sound sick.
And a good crack 'em if you got 'em to you, sir.
And a good crack 'em if you got 'em to you.
Man, these summer crack'ems just feel good, right? Like the February ones are, you know, when it's dark out when we're doing the show, it's not as fun, but like,
yeah,
Sunday, kind of day drinking a little bit. It feels good.
Sunday, and especially, we've had a few of these already this year, but the Monday day offs, Canada holidays, Sunday crack'ems are the best.
But that's not today. I wish we had tomorrow off.
Was that last week?
That was last?
Yeah,
last week. Those ones were good. Those were good ones. And actually, the next time we have a Monday off, and I know we've beat this already to death, but we'll be in Oxnard.
Beat it off.
We'll beat that off. August 5th is the next Monday we have off, and we will be at training camp, so that's pretty sick.
And that's a great way to spend an August-long weekend.
Hell, yes it is, man.
Hail to the...
Get paid?
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah. How you guys feeling? How you guys doing?
Doing well, feeling good. Excited. Well, we'll see if we actually get to go see Horizon.
We're going to go see Horizon after this.
You guys are going for a little matinee.
Last time we went, as soon as we were walking in...
The projector blew.
Lady came out. People were not happy. I was livid.
Alex was livid.
Got my refund for my snacks.
Well, yeah. Ad kind of told me the story. I think you're in the right.
Yeah.
Alex got $40 worth of tickets plus... Is $20 worth of?
Well, you wouldn't. They're like, well, you can eat the food. It's like, yeah, but I wouldn't have bought $20 of snacks here.
Yeah, exactly.
If I could have went to Walmart and got the shit for $5.
Yeah, well, your boy came back and he downed that fucking large popcorn.
Oh yeah, you're still gonna eat it.
I fucking cranked. He didn't. He gave it back. He's like,
I did. Oh, you gave it to Ad?
No, he gave it. He gave the food back to her.
I gave it back. I said, look. Anyways, you're right. That's the point. Is like, yeah, and I have a fucking $1.95 bag of popcorn at home. I could have
exactly not a $11.99 that's here. So I think I would have done the same. And by the time you get home to eat the popcorn, what are you going to do? Hang out in the parking lot and eat popcorn?
I should have pulled this. Listen, bitch. You were close to saying that to her. No, I was not. But I should have done. Listen, bitch. I've spent over $800 at this theater this year.
I was waiting for him to pull that. He's like, I come to a movie by myself every single week. And then she'd be like, sorry.
Do you know if that's actually what you've spent there?
I do know that. That's what I've spent. $790-something.
Hey, it's for the experience, though. That's part of your hobby, though.
Okay, let me get some chat.
Some of that was, I think, some gift cards that I purchased.
Yeah, you also get free movies in there, too.
I get free movies, so it's probably more.
You see double that. What's up, chat? We got Stephen White in the chat saying hi, y'all. We got Kilo C doing his classic can fan with the cheers. Ants was in there battling Eastside Herald. And Abe actually came in here and he says, and we don't have to go deep into
this.
Abe,
is this underage?
This is Abe. Underage.
Underage.
Abe says, where do you guys go to eat in Oxnard? What are some good places?
Damn, we don't really know.
The pizza place.
The pizza place is good. But do you know the name of it?
We don't know the name of it.
This is where we need Boots in chat right now. If Boots hops
in chat, we'll find out. Oh, dear Lord, is someone attacking us? Adam's dog. Yeah. Adam's dog, I don't know if you heard, he's just going nuts. But we are not going to stop the show, even if it's an invader.
Even if it's an invader, they will get them on this couch and give them a crack.
But Abe, we will be dropping an Oxnard video. Oh, Toppers, he says.
Toppers? What? Boots is there?
No, this is what Abe is saying.
Abe said Toppers. What about that... that sweet place Boots' buddy brought us to with the barbecue.
Oh, that place is really good, too.
So look at us. We're like, these places are really good. We don't know the names.
Boots, take us back.
Boots. We'll be dropping an Oxnard video later this week that you can check out that has all the lowdown of Oxnard for those who are not from Oxnard.
You know what's funny? When we were down there last year, it was hot, it was pretty warm. And then the one day we went to the beach, it was cloudy out.
Yeah.
The one off day we were going to go to the beach, it ended up being cloudy, which I just kind of thought was funny.
Ultra Cowboys in the chat. He says, why don't you guys go to the Dallas Cowboys draft party in Frisco?
Because we do our own draft thing.
If
they invited us down, I mean, we're getting to the point that the draft is a pretty big deal for us, like the three draft days.
Leading up to the whole draft.
Well, but he's saying the draft party. Yeah, but that draft party, especially on day one of it, it's... we're getting to the point that we hope it's one of our big off-season events, right? Yeah.
So it definitely this season, some behind baseball for all of our listeners and watchers, perverts,
bunch of bird watchers out there,
bunch of bird watchers. Doing the off-season this year was pretty solid in sense that it didn't feel like a massive off-season. Like every other off-season has felt like very long,
and we're a month away from. We're a month away from NFL football.
Yeah, and so Ultra saying you can podcast from there. Yeah, you can. Like, we'll be podcasting down in and live streaming down in Oxnard.
But some more behind baseball. It's not cheap for us to do trips, so we try to maximize our trips, right? So, of course, maybe in the future where we have some sort of monetary value coming to us that can help supplant a little bit of the travel costs, yeah, that'd be amazing to do. But right now, it's free for us to do it in the stud.
In the studs, man. So there's
my answer to that. It would be amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Don't backpedal. Amp hates it.
Stupid idea.
Just kidding. Okay.
I don't think it's a great idea.
And then
imagine if we lived anywhere close. Imagine we lived in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
Or in Fort Worth or Arlington or anything, we would definitely have it up. But unfortunately, we live 5,000 kilometers away.
I'd be Jerry's personal salt boy.
Salt Bay?
Alex's vibe looks like he is definitely like a 70s...
Salt boy?
Salt boy.
Cocaine dealer?
Yeah, yeah. He's retired with the glasses on. It looks like he retires.
Got back from two stints in Nam, baby.
Yeah, yeah. He spends his morning... He spends his morning looking at his stocks. Then he starts to look at the Cowboys rags. And then
If I'm in the 70s, I'm looking at my stocks like this.
Yeah, newspaper.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola
would have been a good one. Okay, guys, what do we got going on today on the Z docket?
Well, we're going to start off with just a quick little... Actually, I'm gonna curveball it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I posted this today.
You just posted this today. So if you are listening to this and you're like, what the hell are these guys talking about? I hate it when they bring stuff up. Such a visual audio podcast. you're correct. Come check us out first on youtube.com/@CowboysCanFan. But also, you can check what we're looking at is a photo of Zeke Elliott on our Instagram, instagram.com/CowboysCanFan. And Zeke Elliott has 80 touchdowns. He's the third-ranked Dallas Cowboys in terms of career touchdowns for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and if you would have asked me where Zeke was on the list of most touchdowns out of any Cowboy that ever played, I wouldn't have had him at 3.
Where would you put him?
I would have had him top 10. But okay. I didn't know. I thought Dez had more than him. I thought Michael Irvin would have had more touchdowns than him.
When you look at his seasons, he's been very consistent. Yeah. So for me,
always double digits.
Exactly. I did think, okay, he's probably very close, if not in the top 5. But the Cowboys have such a long history. I mean, there's got to be guys who have had many, many touchdowns, but it's just not true. Number 2, Tony Dorsett, 86 touchdowns, 6 ahead, and of course then Emmitt Smith, 164.
Has more than. Or has the exact same amount as Dorsett and Elliott combined. But yeah, it has Ezekiel Elliott here, and I just thought it was interesting that he has a chance, Zeke, to surpass Cowboys Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett this season if he scores 6 or more touchdowns.
Now, is this rushing touchdowns?
No, it's all
all-purpose.
Yeah, so that's really, it's a really good chance, Zeke.
Oh man! I mean, you look at Zeke. Year. His last 2 years with the Cowboys, he had over 25 touchdowns.
So 164 by Emmitt Smith is insane. How many of those were rushing touchdowns by Emmitt Smith? If you look at his all, if it just his rushing touchdowns,
he's from Russian.
He's from Russian.
But I think the odds of Zeke passing Dorsett, barring any type of major injury, is pretty good. Like Zeke's more than likely going to be picking up a lot of short yard downage. The only reason he didn't have more touchdowns with the Patriots is because the guy ahead of him, they had very similar talents and similar short down stuff, where Zeke right now is probably our best short downage yard guy. Well,
I believe this looks incorrect, but no, he got 9 touchdowns last year, rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, but this is just for Cowboys touchdowns.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Who, Zeke did?
Yeah.
I thought he had 3 rushing and...
Maybe this is incorrect. Let me double check here.
Sorry, I was just
looking at the old wiki. But they're pulling it from Pro Football here, and Pro Football's a good website.
Ezekiel Elliott stats.
He's looking at Emmitt Smith stats.
Sorry. That's what I was looking at. Sorry.
Oh,
Emmitt Smith.
Touch my hand.
What did you want to know about Emmitt Smith?
I just want to know how many of his out of those 164 were rushing touchdowns. What's his?
Actually, I guess those are rushing because he got 164 rushing touchdowns.
With the Cowboys? Or
yeah,
total?
And 11 receiving touchdowns. Oh, yep. That's not with the Cowboys.
He's also got Arizona. So, because on this list, I clipped out other guys, but Dez Bryant was like... So, Dez Bryant was 4th on this list.
Yeah, so 164 total touchdowns with the Cowboys. Of those, 153 were rushing touchdowns.
So, not a whole bunch receiving. How many receiving did... We're making Stat Boy work. Stat J.
How many
work
receiving?
Today. How many? Stat J. No, for Zeke.
Oh, for...
How many?
Let's go to Elliott.
This is good here. Are you showing you should show the peeps as you're doing your
you
boosh. Yeah, I like when you, I like watching the live boosh, to be honest.
He's live booshing it.
It's nice. It keeps me engaged. NFL season statistics so this is Ezekiel Elliott right now, correct?
Yeah. So he has 68 with Dallas rushing touchdowns and 12.
Okay.
Receiving touchdowns.
That's a pretty good split for a running back. So Zeke already has more receiving touchdowns than Emmitt. So his odds of getting past Tony Dorsett are pretty good. Yeah, I mean, even last year with the Patriots,
he had five
touchdowns, and he's going to get a hell of a lot more attempts. He actually had a lot of attempts with the Patriots. 184? Like, that's quite a bit. And then
184 with a 3.5, a dude at his age, and what the Cowboys experienced last year... Sign me up for that this year as like our... No, I don't want that to be our number one, but if he's our solid number two, that means we have a better number one. I'll take that all day.
And look how... He had 51 receptions last season.
I know, like the
That's crazy. Look at his... you look at his receptions all time for Zeke.
And you could probably rewind... I shit on Zeke, but then...
Well, not...
I didn't
figuratively.
I didn't sneak into his bedroom and then...
Deuce, leave a little fucking big old coin.
You didn't leave an Deuce Vaughn all over him.
I didn't leave an Amber Heard on his chest.
Big old corn curler on his forehead.
Yeah, Chilliwack corn.
Some of that sweet peach and sweet. What is it called? Sweet corn, peaches and cream.
Peaches and cream. But corn. I also like this split. 5 game starts, 17 games played. So he played in all the games.
Yeah.
And still got 184 attempts. He was utilized.
Yep.
But it was with the Patriots. So you take that into account. I mean, we're very hopeful with the offensive line that we have in Dallas. A lot of hopium going towards how these rookies are going to produce for us. But if they are all that we think they are, and there's no reason that they can't be, I would expect to see more of the 2021 season, but I think, yeah, that would be good. A 2022 season.
Look at his
Sorry,
first
2022 four, season.
Look at his first four seasons, man. Jeez.
But a 2020, if he repeats or gets anywhere close within this 2022 season.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want him to repeat. I want him to three-peat.
Three-peat, baby. I just don't want to see a downtrend on his, because he has a clear downtrend of stats going with his yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's noticeable. Started off high fours, kind of bled down to
3.8.
To low fours. Then it was in the 3.8s, 3.5. Like, we don't want to see a 3.
No.
Like, that's the trend of his yards per carry is saying that he should have a 3.0. So I'm hoping he has a bounce back season and gets us at least no matter what he does, I just hope he has like a four and a half yard per carry average. Ezekiel Elliott.
And that's kind of the thing that twisted my opinion about thinking that he can at least hold to that 3.5 or above is because it was with the
exactly.
Patriots, so.
Exactly. But yeah, just interesting stat. And Emmett Smith, what an absolute beast. 164 touchdowns. That's impressive. That's why he's the GOAT.
Well, we also have another potential GOAT. I don't know if he could be a goat.
What sound does a goat make?
It's like a lamb, yeah.
Or yeah, I was gonna go.
Something like that.
That's a sheep. That's a sheep.
That is a sheep.
We have our boy Booty Dak doing Booty Dak things.
Booty Dak boots.
A lot of people were lighting him up because of his other shoe. Like, I don't think it's as bad. AJ picked a Spanish tweet.
No, but that's the one. That's the one that everyone's...
Oh, that was the main one?
That was the main
okay,
one.
Okay, let me try to read this.
Okay, and then you try to, and then translate. Okay.
Dak Prescott was in Los Cabos this weekend in the boat walk. The boat walk was normal, but this photo of the quarterback had... something on his right foot.
A lesion in El Tabilo Dolorico.
Dak Prescott was in Las Cabas this weekend. Okay. In the pool, he walked normally.
Okay.
Okay. So I got Alberca wrong. But this photo of quarterback L. Who the fuck is that? Oh, the guy who took it, I guess, shows that he has an injury to his right ankle. So I was close enough.
Yeah, you're close. You got the gist of it.
A lesion injury. Okay, hey, I'm learning too, so.
Let's see that photo of that.
Yeah, let's go back down and.
It's very Star Wars Stormtrooper-esque, these walking boots.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I guess it's good if he's going to go out on a boat.
But then Dak kind of responded after, like, oh, everyone's freaking out. I mean, that is freak out worthy. You're walking around with a walking boot on. I mean, if anyone sees that, you're initially going to think, oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah, so he has a bunch of pins in his feet, right? And when he
foot?
In his foot and on his in his ankle, not even his feet. So he was saying that last time he went deep sea fishing, it swelled up, so he was just taking some precautionary measures because the other photo that he posted was...
So you think this was post? Do you think this was post-fishing trip or pre-fishing trip?
Pre-fishing trip.
Why would it be why would it be pre, though?
Maybe the walking boot doesn't let it swell up. Or maybe it did swell up and maybe it was sore and that's why he's wearing the walking boot.
I think this would be either he's going to go on the fishing trip right now or he just had the fishing trip and he wore it to then... I mean, you're not trying to keep swelling down before you do the activity. You're either wearing it while you're doing the activity or after, right?
Look, either way, I don't mind being precautionary, but I love the rumors that circle. What was the best one that you guys heard from this?
Dak's a pussy, and Trey Lance should start.
Was that one of them?
Classic.
Oh man.
Like, something similar like that.
Just something along that page. I mean, guys, when we first saw it, when I first see this, I mean, your brain wanders a little bit, especially us all being on the Dak Prescott, you know, side of we think he should start. But at the same time, it was kind of like, oh, well, I guess we're going to see what Trey Lance is going to do. This means you're not getting any Dak Prescott preseason games. It's going to be purely Trey Lance and Cooper Rush, which I'm all for. I'm excited to watch that battle of training camp. So
yeah, I mean, like, Dak will probably go out for, say, a down.
I don't know, man. I don't know if he'll play any preseason
games. The starters will go out for a down.
Didn't do it last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played a preseason game since the year that he injured his ankle. So 2020. He didn't. And he's CanFan has never watched Dak Prescott in a preseason game.
Well, okay, then I guess we are getting.
You'll get him at training camp, obviously. Yeah. You have to, but I just don't. I don't know if they're confident or comfortable in putting him out in a preseason game. And what I know, we're kind of skipping ahead and jumping around a bit. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Do you believe he should?
I was just going to ask you guys that. So I'm glad you jumped the gun there.
I think it's good to have your starting lineup on both sides of the ball go out and do one set of downs together. And hopefully it ends in, like, you know, 70 yards, maybe 70 yards and a touchdown. But they move the ball, they kick the ball, and then get them off. They don't ever have to go back on again. And me personally, I'd probably do it week one. Just get it out of the way and do it early in week one because I want to get the boys together on the field. I mean, Adam, you're a coach. You know this.
I do.
You want to get the boys out on the field together before the season starts, so it's not the first time they did it. I know that they're going out there and practicing, and they are going to have those reps together, but it maybe this is just the way that the NFL is now. The first kind of 2 or 3 weeks are always taken much more lightly in the results of them than, you know, it also makes sense because they're the first 3 weeks of the season. But you don't look, like, if a team goes 0-3, for example.
In preseason or
in regular season, if a team goes 0-3, you can always fall back on, well, now they should be, now, if they lose in week four, now I can start panicking because they've had what should have been their 3 preseason games together. And I know that starters never played the full 3 games, but, you know, it's just like, that's the way that I mentally...
It'd be interesting to go back and look at teams that played their starting lineups
versus
teams that didn't, and just see what their overall, even in just the first 5 weeks, what their overall records were, right? Because I know it was pretty split down the middle of teams that had their starters out. Because the only reason Dak Prescott ended up becoming the quarterback in 2016 was because the Cowboys marched Tony Romo out for one series against the Seattle Seahawks, and he broke his back. And that was the last, I guess it wasn't the last time we saw Tony Romo. They played in their week 17 game against the Eagles, but it was pretty much the end of his career. So it doesn't happen often.
But when it does, you remember it.
But there's still the chance. Like, I was working out of town. I was sitting in a pub in Nanaimo and with the guys I work with, and it was like a Thursday night game, and Tony Romo got tackled. I was like, oh my God, we're fucked. I was like, we just drafted Ezekiel Elliott. But Dak Prescott balled out that preseason, too, so that was pretty cool. But
we don't really have that. I mean, I guess the argument is Trey Lance is that, and just waiting in the wings for his moment.
But if you even thought there was 5% chance that you lose Dak Prescott for season, would you put him out there? Even just 5% chance?
No, I guess not.
Which there is that, right? Like, you got at least
actually,
a little bit.
You know, right now... Yeah, because I don't have him under a big-ass fucking contract, so I would put him out there.
Oh, you are Jerry's boy over there.
I'm Jerry's fucking private salt boy. Okay?
Ultra Cowboy says, AJ is underestimating this team. And then he goes, who cares about the preseason? Dak has a whole regular season and still sucks in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
I mean, he's not wrong.
No,
he has been bad. He's played one. Dak Prescott's had, and I'm just going to go into CanFan lore here. I'm just going to leave it in CanFan succession here. We've watched him play one good postseason game, and it was against Tampa Bay in 2022. Yeah. Every other game, he has been very subpar. So,
I'm not disagreeing with you, Ultra. I think, I don't underestimate the team, but I do agree with you in saying, like, Dak has the whole season to play. So, absolutely. I'm just a little bit of that old school fucking get out there and play. When yeah. you're the starter, you play.
You play. You okay. get the rust off. You shake and bake that rust off.
That's where, like, I do. Obviously, they run the preseason to make some extra money. Like, I mean, the NFL does make money in the preseason. But if they're going to crank another regular season game,
yeah,
it eliminate some of these preseason games.
Well, that's what they did.
They took the one. They
if they're gonna do another, if they were
extending, well, that's what they would do.
They would.
Yeah. That's the whole argument. That's the all NFL owners want to do that.
Or
they want it to
make even more money.
Or they want it to be an 18-game season with two preseason games.
But yeah. I did hear this, and now we're fucking continuing veering off course. But this is
fine. That's fine. Sorry,
yeah, go ahead, and then I'm going to ask a post question.
I did hear this, that they would keep the 3-week season. They'd extend the season by one more week, and then that would line up the Super Bowl with, I believe, it's President's Day in the United States, which is a holiday on the Monday. So
Family Day in Canada.
Family Day in Canada.
So I'm all for that.
So there would be the Super Bowl on the Sunday and then a day off for everyone in America if they bumped it an extra week, kept the three preseasons. Yeah.
It's the most called in sick day in.
I was just telling the guys at work this. I said, I went years. I probably went my whole 20s being there on Mondays going, oh my God, I should have just booked it off. Yeah. I should have just booked it off. And it wasn't until CanFan started where we were going to stream it that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start taking 2 days off, the Monday and the Tuesday. Fuck it. But
you go into your boss's work and when they're like, yeah, so we heard that you were like drinking and you're like, yeah, I was sick. And you make them watch the whole the whole video just so they can see, like, see, there I started getting sick. It's like the fourth
right
quarter.
Right there, where I'm blacked out. Where I'm blacked out yelling at Adam that the overtime rules, he's not.
Yeah, 24-hour flu hit me.
Right there. I can see the point where I got.
Because I would never yell at him like that unless I was actually sick.
Yeah, so there I am. So I'm sick. But, actually, so my 2 days, the first year of CanFan, I took the Monday off, and I was still pretty hungover. That I called in sick on the Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
And then so in 2022 I was like, I'm taking 2 days off, and then this year I took two days off and it was great.
Ultra says Cowboys win the Super Bowl the whole week off, pigeon trolling time.
Oh man, we're gonna be flying down for the parade.
Yeah. Oh dude, 100% if the Dallas Cowboys win, we are coming to you. Would they have it in Arlington?
Yep. Or they'd probably do it in Dallas. They'd probably have it downtown Dallas. Right where the Thanksgiving Day parade was that year, a couple years ago when we stayed right downtown. I'm laying there, and at like 7 a.m. all I hear is, dun, dun. I'm like, what the
You look outside, there's fucking turkeys walking down the street.
I was like, what the hell is going on? And then it was not nice out. It was really miserable weather.
Yeah, that was the rain.
That was the rain game.
That was the rain year. Crack them if you got them.
What I was going to say, actually, yeah. Toss a couple of there, AJ.
Oh yeah,
mid-season. Oh, just to add also.
Okay.
He just does a handoff to me, and he does classic line. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Classic line.
Yeah, you know what? I could do too. Here.
Classic line.
You can do too. Whoa, the boy is back, baby.
Just these Sundays.
And it was Black Cherry. That's the best.
Where's the next picture of Deck? Fingering the camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
do you got that one?
He's not fingering the camera, though.
Oh, I thought he was.
I do have that one.
I thought he was going like this.
Oh, maybe he is. Well, then that's technically fingering the camera. Just.
I know what.
Not the middle finger,
behind
bro.
Baseball. It's the one that we put in the thumbnail.
I wouldn't want to be.
Oh, right there.
I wouldn't want to be fingered by Dak's hand. Oh, he's doing horns, but it looks like.
Oh, okay. He's kind of dressed how I was yesterday, Caddy. And I mean, we got pretty much the same physique.
Yeah,
I think that's his bro beside him.
Oh no, but look, no boot.
That's the thing. That's the whole point.
Stank ass fucking. What kind of
stank ass fucking Birkenstocks?
What did he? Did he post this with a title or?
He posted on his Instagram. I think it says like Booty Boys or something like that.
Ernie, this is Ernie. Ernie, the Cowboys fan. I like this guy.
I do too.
On Twitter, Soros Dak Prescott is out of the boot and is enjoying his offseason in Mexico. The NFL media and fans could take a breather. The MVP is all right.
Okay.
And he labels him the MVP.
Give him a like or not.
I'll Even Podcast with Barry Grant Jr. says, who the fuck is on the couch? Arn Anderson?
On the couch? Oh. Yeah,
Ant's Arn Anderson right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, shit yeah.
Four Horsemen, a wrestling legend right there.
What up? What up, Barry? B BGJ and the his A.
We got to get Barry Grant on before.
Yes, 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 yes. We got to. Next Sunday. Barry, I don't know if you're busy next Sunday. We'd love to have you on.
You know what I want? I want Barry to give us one task each for training camp.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's got to film it. We got to make a video of it.
He'll tell us next week.
Okay.
Come on next week and he can dictate one task to us each. And it's got
to
be.
We need to report back to him or we have to do something.
Cannot result in
us being arrested.
In us being arrested.
Because we flirt the line with that anyways.
Because I know BGJ would say, pull out your little weenski, Alex, and wave it around like
Alex,
a helicopter.
You have to flash the security guard. Barry Grant says he's there for next Sunday. Okay. Sweet. Slot him in. Slot that.
Booshed and douched.
Booshed him in.
I guess you can't really say booshed and douched.
You don't want to be.
Booshed and booshed.
Maybe you do if you're eating some spicy food.
That's true. Get it in there.
Final thoughts here, gents, on the Dak Prescott boot.
Classic Cowboys media in the offseason. And not even Cowboys media, NFL media. Granted, you see a starting quarterback in the NFL, top five quarterback. I said it. Yeah, I said it. Walking around in a boot. It's going to be big news in July.
I know. And I can't complain about saying, well, show me your source and then actually seeing a photo and being like, oh, well, that's it. Like,
that's your source? That's your source?
Because at some point, you might not even realize it, but you... Because you're fighting off so many different arguments online in your mind, even you suddenly start to see that, oh, now I'm building a castle or a fortress around this idea, and I'm starting to be like
the problem,
delusional,
yeah,
and like not like you see the photo. Yes, he's in a boot. Well, AI. AI.
But we were all kind of panicking a little bit. I think everybody was.
Yeah.
My final thought on it is I definitely was concerned because I'm like, oh, boot. Like, there's no reason to be putting that on unless you're wearing a Kanye West Yeezy. 2024 Yeezy.
You can't talk about him. He's canceled.
But I figured we would have heard of something.
Yes.
There would have been some smoke, and this would have been the fire.
Yeah, wherever there's smoke. That's where you start to see people like, yeah, there were rumors this week about Dak hurting his ankle, this and that, and it's like, I would rather the quarterback take the precautionary measures like that if his ankle was feeling a little tender in whatever he was doing, and last year he had that, so it's like, okay, great.
What are your guys' thoughts on maybe should try to limit any physical activities this close to training camp? Is that kind of crazy to say?
No, I
mean, the guy's 30, he's living his best life. You think that's fine?
If he was out there, if he was fucking, I don't know, man.
Skydiving?
Yeah.
Skydiving, well, maybe, like, that's something like, I don't know.
He just goes full Patrick Swayze on us?
Skydiving, reason being, is because you come down on your feet.
Wing suiting?
I'd be okay with. Wing suiting, I'd be okay with.
Wearing a squirrel suit.
We should like fully make a Dak Prescott
squirrel suit
image and drop it tomorrow on the Instagram, but have a boot on it too.
The caption is Dak Prescott seen in boot for second time.
Yeah.
But he's like fucking squirrel suit. That's good.
Should do that. That'd be funny.
It gets me more nervous when I see someone, and I don't want to go down the Micah Parsons offseason, but Micah Parsons playing,
on a podcast?
No. Micah Parsons at Dude Perfect's facility playing basketball, like intense basketball. So when you like, they're all athletes, so you want them to go out and do these things, and injury can happen anywhere. But I get a little bit more nervous being like, you're out there playing basketball. What if you tear your MCL or ACL because you're on a court versus? But at the same time, you're thinking that these guys are high level athletes. They are going to be doing the things that they've been doing since high school, most likely.
Like, that kind of goes, then why, and I'm not saying that you do this, but I throw this at you just as a fun little experiment or role play.
Slurping it by.
But what about when people say, okay, but that's why you don't have your starters go out in weeks 1, 2, and 3.
I like that.
You know,
tying to the room together. Look at the AJ here.
If you're all right with people taking risks, then... What about the game that they play?
Playing basketball or doing whatever, a risk that isn't needed to be taken.
Not needed.
A preseason game is like, I like what you said. So if you are okay with the starters playing in the preseason, you should be fine with them doing pretty much basketball, tennis, whatever else. But if you're not okay with them playing because, oh, he's a starter and he might get hurt, then you shouldn't want them doing any physical activity in the offseason.
No, not nothing.
Exactly. Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
It's obviously stupid and, like, they're going to do that shit anyway.
I sit in a gray area with it anyways. Me too. I wouldn't mind seeing the starters. I really wouldn't. And, again, I watched Tony Romo get hurt. I do believe that, and it's the same thing before you go into the postseason. I think you play your starters in Week 18 until you're winning the game. And the Cowboys have done that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on that page where your football players, you should play football when it's getting you better. And before a Week 1 matchup, I think having a couple reps in an actual competitive game benefits you more than it benefits you more times than doesn't.
Do you think then Dak's gonna? I mean, Dak will be taking reps against the Rams in the scrimmage.
Oh yeah, he'll get competitive reps, but there's not gonna be
there's not gonna be tackling
or anything like that.
They will do some tackle. They'll tackle though, won't they?
Like running? Not really. I don't think.
It's a scrimmage though. So
you know what?
The quarterbacks don't get hit.
It's kind of like we're professional athletes ourselves,
totally. And we're going to be there live for the scrimmage.
But it's kind of like
against the Rams
when we had our alumni game where there wasn't any hitting, but sometimes an opportunity presents itself. It's been 10 years,
yep,
and you're just going to fucking try to lay that guy.
Just line that fucking guy up.
Here's the thing: I think the biggest concern. And this just came to me as an epiphany, maybe because of what you guys were saying. I think the biggest concern is you've got starters who are out there who know they're going to make the team, and they're probably like, enough to where it's like, yeah, I'm going through the motions to get ready for the game where I actually start getting paid money for. I don't get paid money for these preseason games, technically. The checks come in every week of the NFL season, not the preseason. So, and that's also where you start to count up all of those incentive bonuses that you have, right? So as a player, a veteran, you'd be like, I'm not going to really waste lots of effort in these games because I'm on the team and I'm not technically not getting paid. Obviously, yeah, I'm, you know, a millionaire, but I'm not getting paid for these preseason games. So I don't know how I'd feel about that. But the other half of it is like, and then you're going up against third string Donnie Dojo, who's coming in.
They're going 100%. Coming in hot. They're trying to make a team.
And if Dak Prescott, if Zach Martin, let's say, is on the play and he's going 50% and the dude blows by him and is like, I'm going to fucking smash this quarterback. Like, I can understand that's what you want to avoid. And that's where it gets really gray. I guess that's the gray area that we're talking about. I do want to see it. But at the end of the day, I want to see the seconds and the thirds.
That's gonna puke.
I thought I was gonna. Sneeze, so I wanted to get it away, so I didn't sneeze in the camera.
That's gonna puke.
I want to see the. I want the preseasons ultimately to see the seconds and the thirds more.
Would you, if I'm gonna be honest? Yeah. Would you like it if they in preseasons? Because let's call it what it is. Like preseasons, if it is to get the seconds and the thirds, some more reps, see who's making the team, and allow you to try things out. Would it be if they had, let's say, the first quarter, all the starters are playing, but it's ran more like a scrimmage, so you're not allowed sacking the quarterback.
No.
Your guy's out there getting some of that on-field time, running it through. You wouldn't like that at all?
No, shit, no. I'd rather see our seconds go, if a team puts out their ones, I want to see what our seconds can do against NFL teams in an actual game. This is the risk that you have. If you're going to put out a guy that you want to play in your regular season, you're playing a game. Like, it's a preseason game, it's the exact same as any other NFL game. It just doesn't count to your total record.
Yeah.
And for those players.
So you don't want to start putting in rules like, oh, well, that I don't think that's beneficial. That's what training camp is. The whole point of putting your starters out there, if you want the risk of your starters out there, is to see what they're going to do in an NFL-type spot. If you take away sacking the quarterback or any of this, well, at that point, there's really no point to have them playing against another team.
But the only reason that I want to see the starters out there is to get their first play, literally one play almost, but just get the first play together, all written in the books, and then
we can still do this.
Yep.
CeeDee Lamb scored a touchdown. If he's on the team at that point.
But I think there's just something about that. There's just something about the first session together.
Yeah.
And if they can accomplish that in training camp or somewhere else, then fuck, don't listen to me.
Crack him if you got him, kid.
Crack him if you got him, son.
But I am excited for a Cooper Rush, Trey Lance showdown. That will be nice to watch in a
battle.
Yeah, Ultra says the offseason is the Lance evaluation period they need to know. So yeah.
Truth.
The thing about, and I actually don't think it's terrible how they've, sorry. Let me correct myself before I say something I will regret.
Okay.
I don't like that they have been messing with not getting Dak re-signed and locked in, because there is that sense that, I mean, I'm in the camp that we should be keeping Dak Prescott. I'm not going to go back on that.
No, I remember last season.
I never said. I just said Dak's not that guy, but at the same time, you're saying.
And that wasn't last year either.
And that was two years ago. Drunk.
Last year was the Mike McCarthy. Get rid of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Dak's not that guy in 2022. I was get rid, blow up the whole team.
Yep.
After 2023.
So I guess this year's me.
It's you, yeah.
But what I was going to say is that, so they signed Trey Lance. They gave up a lot for Trey Lance.
Fourth
San Francisco.
Round?
Yeah, San Francisco. Sorry. So San Francisco gave up a lot for Trey
oh,
Lance.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then, because they saw something to him. And then Jerry got
Big Dong.
Big Dong. Hey, he's a locker room guy. Get him in. Big Dong.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Trey Lance comes over to the Cowboys. Dak's in this part where, okay, Dak hasn't been taking us past, you know, second round in the playoffs, right?
We haven't got past that.
So maybe Dak isn't that guy, right? Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones probably said that. Maybe not.
Jerry slaps Stephen in the face.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
So I don't think it's terrible how they've been handling the Trey Lance in terms of just having him kind of get in behind a quarterback, get established within an organization, learn the play calling.
Kind of like what they did with Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
Just a little bit of a different roundabout way.
Yeah. So I think that, like, you know, it's, I don't want to say it will be the first ones to admit we were wrong if they don't re-sign Dak and Trey Lance is the guy, then Trey Lance takes them even further in the postseason because they've given him time to grow. Maybe he has that spirit. I don't think Cooper Rush is our QB2. I think Trey Lance will be our QB2 this year.
Yep.
I think we're going to see a lot of Trey Lance in the preseason games. And I think when the time comes and it matters this season, we're going to see Trey Lance come in and step in for Dak when needed, because I think they're either trying to, like Ultra was saying, evaluate Trey Lance.
At some point, you need to know.
You got to know. But the problem with the Trey Lance deal is we are in that, if you pull up the screen here, Ad, we're in 2024, where he just has a million on the cap, or sorry, 5.3 on the cap. Next year, it's 22.4 million on the cap. And that is an option deal, I believe.
Yeah, that's his fifth-year option, which gets decided on next off season.
More than likely, Cowboys will have to cut him unless he's
the guy.
He's definitely not. He's not. He might be the backup quarterback this season, but if they don't plan on going forward with him after next year, he's getting cut. He's just not getting his fifth year picked up.
Yeah. So this
isn't cut. He's just.
But this is like, look at the trajectories of our quarterbacks. So same with Cooper Rush, who's never going to compete, but is a solid number two, put him aside. So the scenarios are you re-sign Dak Prescott, and obviously then you would release Trey Lance, or you let Dak Prescott hit free market, see what you can do with him, get him or not, release Trey Lance if you do. If you don't, now you have Trey Lance, who you can keep for $22 million. You still have to pay Dak the kick down the road can money, but you could maybe re-sign him. But if he does have a good season, he's going to ask for more than $22.4 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you've got these two quarterbacks, even if Trey Lance is exact equivalent or better, let's say, which would be surprising, than Dak Prescott, he's going to be demanding more money, and you're still ending up in this scenario where you're on the last contract of the season with a quarterback who's supposed to be your starter.
Yeah.
it's like, it's not a very good scenario.
Terribly managed.
If Trey Lance shows that he's very good, it makes it rougher on the Cowboys unless their plan is to trade him at some point in this season before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, like, what would be the...
But anyone would be stupid to even take that trade right now. But they'd have to be planning on him being their future, essentially.
Yes, exactly. But, and he has to show up to do that.
Okay, but so an unproven quarterback, so you're getting re-signed. Trey Lance isn't going to get the type of money that a lot of these QBs are actually getting. He'll get a pretty penny because...
He'd be like a Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield was on a prove-it year last year.
Well,
was fuck all.
Like, I wouldn't.
Which the Cowboys could say to. Well, this is kind of what I was thinking. Like, let's say Dak Prescott goes away after this season.
Where? You're taking him out to the farm? Hey, we had to take Dak out to the farm. Hey. What do you mean? Hey. We let him run down the nice road. What do you mean, Jerry? You took him down the road?
No, let's say so Dak Prescott.
The Joneses shot Dak Prescott.
Sent their little gremlin, little gremlin nephew, or gremlin grandson down to do it.
Come on, Dak.
Want to become a Jones today? I need you to take Dak down the long yellow brick road.
It would be a very Cowboys situation to let a quarterback like Dak Prescott go without getting anything.
If Dak goes to any other team, he's winning the Super Bowl. I already can feel it in my heart.
So all I was saying is that a quarterback like Cooper Rush, who doesn't start this year, but they're going to go into him. Maybe they give him a 1 year, a hefty 1 or 2 year Baker Mayfield style contract. With the idea that you ball out those 2 years, we'll sign you for essentially what we were going to give Dak Prescott. QB market's going to be bigger down the road. That's probably how the Cowboys are thinking coming into this season. I'm guessing if they haven't done anything with Dak Prescott.
Well, if they can wait 4 years,
Dak getting re-signed before the season starts.
You think so?
Yeah.
If they can wait 4 years, I mean they're going to have 3 potential quarterback options, and both of you and me from our NCAA game.
Our creative characters.
We're all quarterbacks.
We just willed ourselves into it.
I'm going to be a quarterback in our NCAA team.
I'll boldly say this right now. We will be there. We'll be in Oxnard when Dak signs his contract.
That'd be awesome.
Ooh, what about Lamb? Dak or Lamb first?
Dak will get signed before CeeDee Lamb.
You think so?
Or they do them both at the same damn time.
They're going to ski pole them?
Yeah.
If they ski pole them, I'm gonna climax in the stands.
Okay, so speaking of QBs, two QBs, let's bring up my play of the week.
Oh, shit.
You like that little tranny?
Are you talking about AJ?
People do like me. People do like me!
Okay, so we're doing a play of the week. This is from Alex's birthday present from me.
No, they don't sponsor us.
No, Dan Casey does not sponsor us.
Dan Casey, we should tag him.
We should tag him in a clip. We got to get a good clip.
A good clip. Like how we're talking about it right now, we definitely have to have it in it.
Go down. Show the play, not the actual play. Show the...
What's going to start here?
Right there. Okay.
But I was going to start here so we get the name.
I know, but we just don't want to... Okay. I don't want... Okay, there we go. Okay. I just don't want to... I'll say the name! It's my star play of the week!
Can I try to guess the name?
Yeah.
You saw the name.
No, I didn't. Boot Cross Sale QB Flatmore.
Okay.
You're close.
I learned from the last one that we looked at. It was pretty much just the words on the screen.
Yeah.
You
got the right combination.
Maybe it'd probably be QB Boot X Cross H Sale Z More.
Okay, so
before you hop in, for any audio listeners, what we're looking at is just a play, play of the week that Adam pulls out of his book from Dan Casey. It's called Trends in Modern Football, or what's it? Trends Offensive Football. It's a real cool book. It's got a link where we can pull up, and that's what we're doing right now. And we're just looking at a play.
This is
I can't tell you more about it because I don't know.
We've all ran this in Madden, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We've all ran this play in Madden. This is one of those ones. I mean, you might change a few of the stuff, but like, this is a perfect zone concept play right here, fellas.
Okay, so this one is called, and it's from Washington State, Empty to 2 QB Boot to Flood. So picked it up because it's we're talking about two quarterbacks here, Trey Lance and Dak Prescott, and it's a boot because Dak Prescott was wearing a boot this week.
Nice.
So The idea with this play is that you have a, and this is popular in high school and college with the two quarterbacks.
Oh, there's two quarterbacks
there's two QBs on the field there, dog.
Oh, so, Trey Lance and Cooper Rush.
Let's do this. It's rush hour.
It's rush hour with Trey time. So the two QB offense should probably be in its own book, says Dan Casey. He goes, I remember first becoming enamored with it when James Perry was the OC at Princeton and he had both a righty and a lefty QB. So the team has made it famous recently is Andy Kotelinkiniki at Kansas with Jalen Daniels and Jason Bean. So the Washington State play caller Ben Arbuckle got in on the action in 2023, and he really liked this version. So I'm not taking credit for anything. I'm reading directly.
You know what?
Casey's
I make
book.
A suggestion? Mm-hmm. The next play of the week.
No,
I want Adam.
So I am.
I don't want Casey McStacy.
Okay, so
I want Ad to break it down to us.
So I was because I knew. Here's how I know Ant.
You knew I was going to say this.
You knew Ant was. I knew Ant was going to say.
Are you giving us a little bit of?
I was just giving you. I was just giving you just a tip. Okay.
I wasn't listening because I was getting mad that you.
I know you were. So here's the biggest thing. One on this option, you have two quarterbacks situated there. So A, you don't know if this is going to be a check down to a quarterback or if it's going to be one quarterback taking the run, or you're going to toss it out and then toss it down. Like
right. The Steelers could run this.
The Steelers absolutely could run this. And this is kind of what
so you have a pass, run, or fake run pass.
Exactly.
Scenario.
So when someone lines up into this in high school or college, they're not just running one play as a special. They probably have a few of these in the mix here. Because as you can see right here, you got someone kind of going down for a fade. You got someone doing a slant. You get someone doing an out. So there are options.
Sale.
But in this situation here, with this actual concept, you have the QB handing off. The one QB runs to the flat.
So the QB hands off to the other QB.
QB hands off to the other QB.
But he hands it off behind him so that it's still he can still throw a forward pass after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't wait to run this in NCAA.
We will.
I'm going to run.
Exactly.
Two QB, flood, sail, window, drop.
Yeah, and then and you can actually go down to the play so you can see it in action here.
There's two.
Go to the bottom. This one's a better one. So you can see how he wraps around.
Oh, yeah.
And now he tosses it to the other quarterback.
Oh, he actually threw it to the other QB. Yeah.
So it's basically quarterback to quarterback.
So Cooper Rush, Trey Lance going for it.
Trey Lance going to Dak Prescott.
No.
That's what it is.
You want Dak to catch the ball?
That's what it is in this situation.
Let me see. Why would you want Dak catching the ball?
Because Dak's QB1.
This is a better shot, I think, just because I want to see what the wide receivers do. They all just still run their routes because the pass could come, right?
Hands it off, rolls out. The righty throws it, though. Right-handed quarterback throws it to the left-handed quarterback.
I like the thought of having a left-handed and right-handed quarterback, back-to-back.
Yeah.
And both of their hands on the ball. So either one could take it and throw it.
Sorry, you are right. It's Dak Prescott gets handed off. So it's basically Trey Lance is the one that's going for the pass.
Trey Lance takes the hike.
Yeah.
Hands it off and streaks out.
Yeah, and then
right.
Dak boots it around.
Yeah, I don't think you want Dak Prescott catching a pass in the flats ever.
Hey.
Trey Lance is 6'4".
Hey, we're crazy like that though.
24 years old.
We're crazy like that.
Well, should just play tight end anyways.
So in this situation when you're looking at the Steelers, who would you would it be Russell Wilson that's tossing to
yes.
Fields? Yeah, yes. Of course it would be.
100%.
What other teams do you think could run this play besides the Cowboys and the Steelers?
I mean, look,
the Texans could.
So could
anyone with an athletic
Ravens.
Quarterback. The Ravens could easily.
Yep. I mean,
any team with an athletic quarterback.
You know who else could? And I'm not saying he's athletic, but he's just fucking weird running and shifty is Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I could run it.
Yeah, go.
Give it to me, Pat.
You could. You could possibly also.
Two as well.
Do this with San Francisco.
Yep.
And CMC could be in there.
But then it's not the same play.
I know, but CMC technically is rated as what, QB4 or QB3?
But for it to be your play, you need two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. It's QB1 and QB2.
Otherwise, it's just a quarterback handing it off to a running back that then throws it.
Can I?
That's my play of the week.
I like it, and this was a fun one.
And definitely one we're going to – when I said, oh, yeah, we've done this in Madden lots, I didn't even notice that there was two quarterbacks.
Yeah, me too.
I'm actually going to –
The wide-out formation was the same.
Yeah, the handoff or the play action one, roll out and hit a guy coming across the middle.
I think I'm going to get this installed into our offense as well.
Do it. Canfan offense?
No, into my Giants offense.
But then you need two or three plays from that same.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it either goes out or a throw. Totally. Can I get a request? And here's the thing. And this was, again, from Trends Offensive Football by Dan Casey.
Yep. Solid book.
Good guy. Big heavy hog on
I didn't
him.
Expect there to be college plays in there. That's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, so he takes from the NFL, but he takes all, there's a I'd say 40% of it has plays from high school and college.
Good.
It's trends in offense.
We need a deep dive for our NCAA team.
That's right, baby.
And how you decide on those is just kind of week to week what happens in the news. This one aligned with the boot
and with everything we were kind of talking about a little bit.
It was super relevant. I'm looking forward to a couple ones in the future where it's like probable plays that the Cowboys
could run.
Could run, right?
Yeah. Well, and it will get out of this book, and then it'll probably just be me coming up with some offensive plays of the week.
You should have just ended that. It'll probably get out of this book, and it'll start off with me coming.
But I want to see that. I want you to be like writing it here while we're doing it. So you got to run up. You gotta
sale,
be a man.
You need a sail spread.
Yeah.
Sail spread QB to more one fly weight touchdown.
And me and Anthony are sitting here like,
Yeah.
Okay, so well, man.
Dan Casey, trends in offensive football. And actually, during season, we'll probably move the play of the week to
a Cowboys play.
To Wednesdays.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Sundays will be too
inebriated.
Sundays will be too wasty. Okay.
Well, time to move on to the next top 20 questions. They only got two out this week.
Which actually with our time right now is working out pretty good.
It is. So the first question of the week here.
And this is from DallasCowboys.com.
And this kind of fell into what we talked about today without it even kind of.
How dare the Cowboys just say the Cowboys staff writers? They don't even credit.
They've said it every week because there's multiple staff writers.
Just so stupid.
They can't say one because there's five people answering it.
Just so stupid.
What are realistic expectations for Zeke? We kind of already talked about this a little bit. We can rehash it a little bit. I picked Zeke a couple weeks ago as my sleeper for the running back room. And I said kind of what AJ had for his 2020 or 2021, 850 yards, 10 touchdowns, 4 yards per carry. I'd be super stoked with that.
Ooh, nice.
I'll just pull up his stats.
Yeah,
again.
Ultra says 700 yards and 10 touchdowns for Zeke.
Yeah, I mean that. Even that, I'd be happy with 700 yards and 10 touchdowns. The touchdowns to me is what we missed last year.
Yeah,
on the goal line, the Cowboys didn't have that, and you could notice it. So there's only been in his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years playing with the Cowboys, only 3 years he didn't have over 10, and you can't really count 2017 because he only played in 10 games. So mm-hmm.
He had 7 touchdowns.
And he had 7 touchdowns in 10 games. So another 6 games and he would have had over 10.
And the other funny one, sorry, is 2018 where he had he led the league in both attempts and yards.
Yeah.
But only had 6 touchdowns.
Interesting. So. I don't even really remember 2018. But expectations.
I do. I was there and live in person when we beat the Eagles in overtime.
What game was that? What week?
It was week 17.
Okay.
This is what I want from...
Maybe 16.
This is what I want from our boy.
Right there? 2021?
I want 200 football touches. Actually, no. 215 football touches. So, you know, split between rushing and catching, because I think he can still catch the ball. I want 10 tutties, and I want 1,000 overall yards. 10 collective touchdowns, 1,000 collective yards. Because a lot of Zeke's game has been his ability to catch the ball as well. Like, he's put up some incredible numbers when you look at his receptions here. 32, 26, 77, 54, 52, 47, 17, which was his last year in Dallas, and then his
just last year with New England, 51 receptions. So he can catch a football really damn well good.
But, like, so look at that. The year that he only caught 17, they primarily went and gave a lot of those receptions to Tony Pollard.
TP20.
Yeah. Right? So crack him if you got him.
But what, funny enough, in hindsight, 2020, my friend.
Yep.
But
that's what they say.
That might have been an overlooked stat because you move Tony Pollard into what you think can be the premier position because maybe it's like you look at the stats at the end of that 2022 season, you go, wow, Tony Pollard can run and he caught all these balls. Well, we don't need to pay. We don't need to pay.
Someone said something gay. What?
You don't need to pay both these guys. They let them go, but TB20 just couldn't keep up with that smoke. Yeah. You know?
Did I say that Zeke was my sleeper pick? Because I'm pretty sure he's actually AJ's sleeper pick. You had Zeke. I had Dowdle. Ad had Vaughn. That was our sleepers for the
Vaughn slash Lepke.
Hey, we're all in together, fair. Except for I'm definitely not in on Vaughn.
I just want that to be said.
Yeah.
I just want that to be said.
But yeah, Zeke, I think we're all on the same page with what we expect from. And I think that's realistic. I really do. Last year, he wasn't a starting running back, and he wasn't even going to be in the conversation of getting the most carries with New England. So you can't really, and he still had 642 yards. So in my mind, he's going to have a better year than 2020.
Here's the shitty thing with Zeke looking at his last year's stats. It's like, yeah, you got to get him over 200 touches. I mean, like 184 touches just is not enough for Ezekiel Elliott. Still maintained like 3.5. So like his whole last year's stat line is like, it's kind of whatever to me because obviously
they threw to him 65 times.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
So, and again, you're different offense. You have a different coach, whatever. I think getting him back in Dallas, I would have been curious. I think Zeke's production, if he would have been in Dallas last season, would have been very similar to his 2022 season. I actually think Tony Pollard probably would have been a better running back for us last season.
Would have felt better at the end of the season if Zeke was there.
Yeah.
Looking at his stats, the more I look at it, like you just don't respect it until after it's been a while. His 2016 year, man, 1600 yards, 15 touchdowns, an average yards per carry, 5.1. Look at his yards a game, 108 yards a game he was averaging. Guys, he was so his first 3 years, he basically averaged 100 yards a game. He was so damn good. So give us 2022, 2021 Zeke, and I'm more than okay with that.
Me too.
I think
that's realistic.
I mean, I think do you think he hits a 4.0 at least for his yards after?
I don't know. I hope so.
Okay.
I don't care about 1,000 yards. I don't care about any of that. I just want. I want the touchdowns, to be honest.
I want the touchdowns.
Toss me one, son.
Touchdowns. He wants the touchdowns. He wants the touchdowns.
What was question 4? Are we on question 14 or are we on?
Oh!
Scoops it.
First tip of the season.
I don't know how that didn't blow. I don't know how that didn't blow up.
It's gonna be nice and shook.
Trying to find where it hit. It must have hit off that.
I think it hit off the lip.
Yeah, it had to have. Okay.
Well, what kind of throw did you do there?
A terrible one.
Same one.
It was tipped, though. It was tipped.
Okay, go ahead and crack it. Let's see.
Leading him.
It's going to spray.
I know. Okay.
Oh. Here it comes.
Yeah. Crack him if you got him, son.
Crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him, kid.
Okay, well, that's what we think about. Let's see what these guys have to say here.
Let's see their realistic expectations.
Like to see their realistic expectations.
The running back by committee approach will be fascinating to see. Oh, you can zoom it out a little bit in this one.
Yeah, this is Nick Harris, too.
Do we even want to read
No, them? Let's just get the numbers. But if he can put together 700 yards on the ground paired with an efficient complementary effort from Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn. Okay, Nick Harris, 700 yards.
Kyle Yeoman says 870, surpassing 875 yards and at least 8 touchdowns total.
But that's his ceiling, he's saying. At this point in his career, this may be the ceiling for statistical contribution, but he doesn't really give anything after that. He just kind of says that 875 and 8 touchdowns is his ceiling. So that's kind of...
Fail, Yeomans! Fail!
Because we already think that he's going to do that. So I don't think... I don't think that is his season or his ceiling.
Now, what does Eat Me Out Eamon say?
I think we missed one person, didn't we?
No,
next up, it'll be below. But next up is Nick Eat Me Out Even.
I could see him finishing somewhere around 600 to 800 yards and maybe 25 to 30 catches out of the backfield. Yep. 1,000-yard all-purpose yard season would be a good year for him as long as it's the committee is putting in the work. So, oh, and he also says 7 to 10 touchdowns. So, kind of on par for what we all,
listen,
all said.
Listen, eat me out. Give us an actual number. Don't be like 7 to 10. I could be like, if Zeke gets anywhere between 5 to 15 touchdowns, like we're going to be perfect here.
Yeah, that is kind of a cop-out, isn't it? Give us, I want you, you're boldy. I want you to say, well, I guess it is realistic, but I want him to give us some numbers. That's right.
Okay, so what does Kurt Daniels say?
He doesn't really say much about what he thinks realistic.
Let me see the score. Yeah, he just says...
He just kind of... He doesn't really give anything.
I don't have an opinion.
He kind of just spit the stats from last year out.
I think he's... His final comment basically sums up, Elliott had only 3 rushing touchdowns last year. That's where the team really is expected and need him to make a difference.
Where but he still didn't give us really anything.
Kurt Daniels, politician son of a bitch.
He was even a bigger pussy than eat me out, even.
Daniel, stop politicking here.
You politicked us, and now you're going to get politicked.
But we're going to be back. We're going to be back to you, Kurt Daniels, and you better have a better answer. On your next question.
Damn well better answer. Okay, next question is DT, defensive tackle, still the most pressing need for the Cowboys? That's a good question.
That's actually a great question.
I think it's like definitely one of the largest question marks for any of the positions, at least in all of the other positions on the Dallas Cowboys. There might be question marks in terms of will they, like for example, Steele. You know, he's a right tackle. Which Steele are we going to get, 2023 or 2022? And we're all hoping for 2022.
Yep.
But defensive tackle is the one that is...
They didn't address it at all.
They didn't really address it at all. You're right. Unless you count Mazi Smith being drafted as being the addressing. Well,
I'm saying this season because I don't think that right now.
This is the position, I think, the only position that got weaker.
Yeah. They lost Big Hanks.
We would hope is a small sack of potatoes for you. But we would hope that someone like Mike Zimmer, when you have a new defensive coordinator coming in, they're going to talk to him and be like, okay, how do you think our tackles are? And if he says, hey, based on the way that Dan Quinn was doing it, I don't think you were utilizing your tackles the way you need to, but I do feel fundamentally we have the personnel that we can actually work with, so it's not our most pressing need. We have the personnel there. We can work with it. I can work with it. I've done it before. Here's this. I feel like those conversations happened leading into the draft.
So what's the biggest pressing need? If it's not, like, what position do you think is the biggest pressing need?
Offensive tackle. That's why they went a little bit harder drafting offensive tackles.
But they're saying right now. So
the question is defensive tackle still the most pressing need? No, I don't.
So then what's the most pressing need right now? It's not offensive tackle. They drafted offensive tackles. Do you see what I'm saying? This is post-draft now. This is the team right now.
Well, and so my answer to this question, it's not saying, is DT still the most pressing need? And if not, what's the other stuff?
What they're asking you. If defensive tackle isn't the most pressing need, what's the most pressing need? If it's offensive tackle, they drafted offensive tackles.
Right. So then that's what that's...
So then defensive tackle is the most pressing need.
No, I don't think I'm listening to you the way that you want me to listen to you. Ant's saying. So he's saying if the question is defensive tackle still the most pressing need, and I say no,
and
then I should say no, defensive tackle isn't the most pressing need. The most pressing need would be XYZ.
Which is what?
I don't know that.
That's my only thing. If you don't think defensive tackle is the most pressing need, what is the most pressing need?
You have to have a...
Otherwise, it defaults back to defensive tackle.
Because we know defensive tackle...
Well, so my thought would be that...
Your thought was before the draft.
Thought is still now...
Saying Guyton is not...
Sorry. I think this question, if you're saying, is defensive tackle still the most pressing need? Because going into the draft, we were saying Mazi Smith isn't the guy, our defensive tackle, our run game, this, and this isn't the need. But you look at what they did with the linebackers. You have Overshown coming back. You got Kendricks coming in. You're realigning the defensive scheme so that it's going to maybe play to the strengths of what the team has. Because then the other defensive coordinator coming in, I feel that we didn't see as much moves that we should have seen in the defensive side. We saw more moves in the offensive line and the happening in the draft. So my question would be, the most pressing need was the offensive tackle, and going into camp, that is going to be the most
pressing need.
Pressing
need. No, you're right. You're right. The only answer I was looking for you to get at was Terrence Steele is still the most pressing need. That's all I wanted to hear. And you in a roundabout way, you got there. You did get there. I just wanted you to be like offensive tackle, and when I said, well, they drafted it, I wanted you to say, yeah, well, Terrence Steele isn't the guy.
Yeah, Terrence Steele isn't the guy. And bandwagon Bob said, quit picking on Adam.
I'm not picking on you. It's just, it's one of those things. If defensive tackle isn't the most pressing need, I want to know
an answer.
I want to know what you wanted, and you got there. You're right. Terrence Steele could be the most pressing need. Terrence Steele arguably could be the most pressing need on the team.
I was confused because you were saying they addressed it in the draft, and I was saying they didn't address it in the draft. I think going into camp, the offensive line is still going to be the most important thing that we got to figure out.
And you could be bang on fucking right.
Yeah, I am right. Sorry, go ahead, Alex. Alex, what were you saying?
No, I agreed.
I think between both of those, between defensive tackle with Mon, I do think the defensive tackle is a need. I'm still not proven, or I don't see it being upgraded compared to last year, and it's been downgraded without Hankins. But right tackle's also scary. Right tackle's scary, and so is third wide receiver to me. There's right tackle, and I'm just gonna single Mozzie Smith out. Mozzie Smith, and then wide out three.
Sorry, I'll take back my thing. Most pressing need is a wide receiver. We need to sign CD Lamb to a contract.
Okay. That's actually good. That's actually good too.
And like and then we don't have. I mean, Flournoy possibly is that wide receiver three. I don't think Tolbert's our wide receiver three. I can't see it. So they're stretching it.
Post if you're third down pick or after, to me, if they show up and play and they start,
that's just lucky.
That's just luck.
Yeah,
the first and second round pick. So I would go ahead and actually say yes. I still am not convinced, and I don't think anyone can strongly be convinced at this point anyway. So it's not like I need to be impressed or anything. We just haven't seen it. But the left tackle and center and right tackle, all of those have question marks right now. We're very hopeful, and I think you're warranted to put more hope into a first or second round pick than you are a second round talent who didn't really show up in their first season, especially when they were a first round pick. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts there, but I think comfortably you could say the D-line and the O-line are issues.
And I imagine this is what the Cowboys staff writers are probably going to mimic. I feel like one thing minus the undrafted free agent list that they asked about, like who's your favorite undrafted free agent? I feel like we've basically mimicked
what they say.
Just better.
Yeah.
We're doing it better.
Take that, eat me out.
Eat me out, Eatman.
Oh, who's that? Look
at this.
Who's fucking Vietnam Zimmer?
That is a Zimmer boy.
Who's fucking Vietnam Zimmer?
That is a Zimmer boy.
That's the defensive line coach.
Are you throwing that in his dick or what?
I was trying to see if they had a
Cowboys defensive line coach.
I know, but I'm just saying that looks like Vietnam Zimmer right there. Zimmer only gets fucking guys who you're saving it.
No, I was looking to see if we can pull up more.
Look what did come up. Go down.
Tits McGee right there. Tits McGee.
Oh, man.
That's got to be a Zimmer
did,
boy.
They did Zimmer bad there, man.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to take this
shot. Well, Zimmer chose to wear the shirt.
I'm going
to
take a screenshot of this guy and put it beside Zimmer and put who wins in a street fight.
Yep. I'd have to go this guy. This guy looks fucking rough. And I like that. He also looks like he hasn't washed his Dallas Cowboys shirt since he got it, and somehow
if he's a lineman coach, he doesn't give a shit.
No, somehow it's full of sweat. All right, let's go see what these answers are.
I kind
of
want to dress like that though. It looks like he took a hoodie, cut the hood off, cut the sleeves off,
but then sewed it
because he has the front. He went to the fucking. This is Dak Prescott's quarterback thing because they have like the quarterback
pouch.
He said, "I want you to sew my shirt into this vest."
What's the coach? What's the coach's name?
I couldn't. It's not here, and I can't.
Anthony'll find it. We gotta find out this game.
But here we go. Here are the answers from Nick Harris. is DT the most pressing need? Absolutely. As of now, there is not a one tech on the roster that has proven that he can produce at an NFL level to replace what Jonathan Hankins brought in 2022-2023. I think.
Jeff Cigonia, man. After we do this, we'll go through this, and then we just got to go through his images.
Jeff Cigonia.
Jeff Cigonia. Okay.
Jeff Cigonia.
Yeah, we're almost done this one here. Mickey Spagnola.
See, I told you. Remember they had it, Mikey, last time.
Yeah.
They missed the C.
Oh,
it's that fucking. Hey, listen. Oh. Even though you guys are starting to use AI for your writers, make sure you still do some
spell checks.
Spell check that shit.
I have to say,
I get furious when I read an article and I see a spell check, because I'm like, I can't believe you're getting paid to write this fucking drivel.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse to have spelling mistakes.
Okay, so one of the most pressing
things. Proofread your 2-minute article.
It's a paragraph, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at the depth at nose tack, and this is from Mickey with a.
We'll call him Spags.
With Spaggies. He's saying one of the most pressing, if not the most, when you look at the depth at nose tackle after the free agent losses, after starter Jonathan Hankins and top rotation tackle Neville Gallimore.
Canadian boy.
There isn't much proven left as a true one tech. So they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
The 3-tech starter Osa Odigizua. This is why the Cowboys sorely needed a 2023 first round draft pick choice Mozzie Smith to make a huge second year leap.
So there, right now, if we're banking,
you're stopping
on
me?
If we're,
oh, you read all that before?
No, we just need to get their prediction. We don't need
right,
their
right.
Whole
sorry.
What about Patrick Walker? Yes, see, we ja da. I think he's pretty much saying
we,
yes,
ja da. I'm not how many languages I need to say it in, but you get the point.
So he's saying Patrick the same shit.
Patrick, look at how he spells his name.
No C Walker.
Oh, now they forgot a K on Patrick? You stupid pieces of shit. Get your damn AI spell checker together.
Hey, listen, DallasCowboys.com.
Well, this
we,
is where
we
they
love you and we respect you. We still want any type of.
But this is where the AI got confused, because Patrick Walker, his ex profile is Patrick No C Walker.
Because
he doesn't have a C in front, and whoever was doing it prior, they took the C out of Mickey instead of the C out of Patrick.
Hey, what's up, I'm Mickey, Walker.
So this is correct, sorry.
That's right. Okay. His Twitter handle, X handle, is Patrick No C Walker.
And I think I've seen No C.
No C goes through, he talks about the running back corps have 8 bodies at least to sort through, linebacking corps added Eric Kendricks.
Yep.
Oh, so I guess he's just saying that, yeah.
Same shit. Okay. They're saying Mozzie's just not the answer. Because we didn't talk about Neville Gallimore.
He's not the answer. He's just not proven. He didn't prove it last year.
But he's still saying that this is the biggest need right now. It's the most pressing need.
And he sums it up nicely by saying Mozzie Smith and Chauncey Golston are pressured to have their breakout season this year.
Because Justin Rogers, a late round rookie with lots of potential but a large learning curve. They drafted that big old fucking Mambo Jumbo 330 man.
That big old slab of meat.
Yeah, big old slab of meat, but it's going to be tough.
Those ham hocks, baby.
And finally we got
Kurt Daniels. Kurt Daniels.
Kurt, everything in my house is monochrome Daniels.
Paula Dickin Daniels.
He's Mr. fucking no personality. Okay. What do you got, Daniels?
Okay. Well, right now, defensive tackle does appear to be the most pressing need, but if Tyler Guyton and perhaps even Cooper Bebe aren't ready for the big stage come week one at Cleveland, Cowboys offensive line is sure going to look pretty needy.
So that was Ad. That was Ad's kind of thing. They didn't even bring up Terrence Steele.
Am I the Kurt Daniels of this podcast?
You are, yeah.
But I think
Ad cock out Bessie.
Y'all can see, you can run back the tape. Don't even go to DallasCowboys.com and read these articles. Just come on here, drink some beers or vodka sodas, or maybe you like just tequila shots, whatever you want. Viewers' preference.
Jager bombs.
Drink those Jager drinks. Bombs. Come on here, and we're gonna give you even better answers than what these guys do. Because you're not gonna have to read the paragraphs. You're just gonna have to sit back. Stroke that schlong and listen to us.
Guys,
stroke it and choke it.
Before we call ourselves out.
We're not calling it out. I was going to say right here, Ultra Cowboy says, if Mozzie falters in training camp, they will use a late round pick on a player like DJ Jones.
Not a bad idea, honestly. So, not a bad idea, honestly. But I was going to say, we have to look at that coach now.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
Jeff Zavinia. I think Jeff Zavinia. Just put
with a Z?
Just put Cowboys defensive line coach. I read it out 5 minutes ago, and I forgot what his name was.
Jeff Zagonia.
Zagonia.
Good old Jeff
Zagonia. Get on the main page here. Get him up on the main page here.
Okay, one sec.
Jeff is from Petonia.
Jeff
Zagama Beach.
Zagonia. Huh?
Huh? Jeff Zagonia. Oh,
this guy looks like a bad guy in a Mad Max movie.
Go images. Let's just go. Let's just.
I love this. He's out there punching defenders.
You want this? How bad do you want this?
Oh, yeah. He's straight? An ex player. Look at the size of him when he played. Oh, man. He's my new favorite coach. Look how
Jeff Zagonia. I like this. This image of him right here is probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking.
I can't wait to get. I can't.
High shorts, white t-shirt.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I had those shoes at one point in my life.
Tucked in? You tuck your.
With a belt.
If you don't tuck your white t-shirt into your rolled up. They look almost.
Short shorts. Almost Daisy Dukes.
Like wet. Like they're wet or sweated through Daisy Duke shorts.
Ultra says he thinks he played for 19 years. Wow. So we're going to have to bring up his stats after I'm a big
Zagonia guy. Take a look at him.
How about this? On the next episode of Sunday Service.
We're going to break on Zagonia Breakdown?
Whenever we have that.
Lull. Just give me one more scroll. One more set of picks.
Yeah, look at that. Sure. Look at that right
there.
We're gonna do a
breakdown.
Look
here.
Look at this. Look at his head on the top left. It's a cinder block, dude.
Oh my goodness. Okay. He
looks like Joe from Family Guy.
Yes, I drank those five pitchers.
He looks like Joe from Family Guy.
Yeah.
If there was a cartoon.
Totally.
Look at Zagonia right down there, though. He's taking that hit down there. He's like, and he probably says, don't you fucking be a pansy. Hit me as hard as you fucking can. Let's go.
Pretty crazy when your coach looks like a monster compared to your player.
Well, I like it. I like what I'm saying.
Anyways, I needed you guys to check that out. Fellas, good episode. Great Sunday service. We will be back, and we actually have the Balling and Burgundy podcast meeting up for us Wednesday night. So we're going to talk some NFC East shit. You know, they're big Commanders fans. We're going to talk about how they basically took the whole Dallas Cowboys team from us. And we're probably going to tell them that if you're not Cowboys fans, I only got one thing to tell you. How about you go fuck yourselves?
Woo! That jacks me up and jacks me off.
Jacked up, jacked off. All on the Sunday service.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.